Well, good morning. Great to be with you today. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. If you're a guest, we're especially blessed that you're here. If you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you're with us there. Please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. On each row, you'll find our attendance pad. If you'd fill that out, you can drop it in the offering basket as it comes by. I have a few announcements I'd like to lift up for you. So our weekday learning center enrollment starts on Monday. That's for church members and for already enrolled students. And then it will open for the general public on the 20th. And if you're a part of our greeter folk, we'd love for you to come and help us. We like to greet those folks early in the morning. So you can reach out to me or Leanne about that. So on Fat Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday, the 21st of February from 5:30 to 7:30, we are having a pancake supper. Your ad board and your pastor are going to be flipping pancakes. We had it last year. We had a great turnout. We had a lot of fun. We raised $22,000 for a new fence around the playground. And so this year, we're raising money for UM Army scholarships and for campus beautification. Some of our plants have taken it on the chin with the freeze that we have, and we need to replace those. So we're going to try and have a work day before Easter so that we can get all of that done. So, but be sure and join us on Tuesday, the 21st, from 5:30 to 7:30. It's going to be in the Life Center over here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and then the next day is Ash Wednesday. So Lent is already upon us. It's just right around the corner. We're going to have two services. We're going to have a service in here at 9:30. That will be kind of a brief service at 9:30, and then you'll be able to receive ashes sort of on a come-and-go basis for about 30 to 45 minutes. And so that'll be in this space, and then we'll have a full service at 7 p.m. That will be in the Wesley Sanctuary. And we're having a blood drive on February 26th. Be sure and sign up for that. Our blood supply continues to be low, and so we need your help with that. So also, there's something else I just wanted to let you know is going on. It's really sort of interesting. So there is a college in Wilmore, Kentucky that's called Asbury. It's described as an evangelical college, but it is also one of the two recommended seminaries for the Global Methodist Church. And they had a regularly scheduled chapel service on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they ran from 10 to 11, and they just kept worshiping. And they have not stopped worshiping since 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. There is a huge revival that's happening at Asbury. Buses from the University of Kentucky have come in. They're expecting to overflow their chapel, which seats 1,600 today. So there's just some really cool things that are happening out there. Here's a post that I thought I would share with you. A student just gave a testimony at this revival event that just spontaneously happened, that he passed an acquaintance in a hallway yesterday and tried to casually greet her. She told him she'd been at the Hughes Auditorium, their chapel, and it felt like a revival of God or something. It was really real and incredible. He kept walking so he could make it to class, but as he walked away, he laughed at her and whispered, "That's stupid." But suddenly, the Spirit of God arrested him, and to his surprise, he heard the voice of God strong and clear, "Who are you to mock me?" And it so startled and convicted this young man that he skipped all the rest of his classes, went back, and made his way to the chapel service where he experienced the sweetness of the Lord sweeping over him and all the others that are there. So get on the Google when you get home. I said that on purpose. So, but go home and Google it. It's really pretty fascinating and really cool thing that's happening. They've been worshiping for close to 100 hours now, I think. So just wanted to share that with you, that that's happening, and that is one of the seminaries that is a part of the recommended places for Global Methodist Church clergy to attend. So I'd like to invite you to stand up and greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ. Oh, and I'm not like 100%, so I'm not going to shake anybody's hand today. So
As we come to our time of tithes and offerings this morning, just a reminder that we've made that really easy to do, either online or even via text. The baskets will come around. There's also a box at the back of the sanctuary. We are so grateful to all the ways that this congregation gives to God through Atascocita Methodist Church. And so much of that goes out into the community. This month's dynamic dollars will go to Ham Community Food Fairs, which feeds, I think it was like 25,000 people last year, or maybe families. So it just makes a huge impact in the community for people who need to know of God's love and grace, and they receive that word through our witness and through the generosity of all of you that continue to pour out into this community. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just so grateful for the opportunity to worship you and to be in the presence of one another as a church family. We give you all the praise and adoration for your goodness that we are constantly reminded of, that you are always with us, even when the night is the darkest. And we are so grateful that you are eternal, God, that whatever the circumstances of our life may be, you are a constant source of hope, and that you are the same from the beginning to now and to the end of days. We give you thanks for this revival of the Holy Spirit that is taking place in Asbury, and we just stand amazed at the thousands of people that are there and that are still coming and just going on to 100 hours of worship. People are coming to you for the first time. People are experiencing a renewal of their faith. People are being healed, and your word is being spread throughout the country by the witness of so many young people at this revival. And we just pray that it would continue, that your spirit would be sustained, and that it would go on to every corner of the earth. We pray, God, for all of the different things that go on in our world that we just always don't understand. And as we watch some of that tragedy unfold and we wish there was more that we could do to help, we know that you hear our prayers and that you are working in those situations. We pray for Turkey and the fallout of the earthquake they had there. We just ask that you would be with the people and that you would provide restoration to that community and that you would help us to know the ways that we can best help with that. But mostly, God, we offer our prayers for those people. We pray for our country and its safety, and we pray for all of the men and women who protect and serve it. God, we bring to you the concerns of our congregation. We pray today for John Herndon as he remains ill, and for his wife Dolly and their children who care for him. We pray for our sister Martha Cheney as she is recovering from COVID in the hospital, and ask that you would be with her and her family and provide complete healing. We pray for all of those who are ill, who are grieving, who are struggling in relationships, those who are dealing with an unexpected change or hardship, or just are at a point where they need your direction, God. And we would ask that you would speak into all of these situations and just grant your comfort and your wisdom and your healing. Lord, we continue to be grateful for our church, for the people of our community, and for all the opportunity that we have here for ministry. We ask that you would be in the hearts of all of us here at this church, and that you would put within us a desire to invite all of those in the community who need to know your love and your grace, and that you would be already working in their hearts and draw them closer to us so that we may witness to them. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
I mean, I've not heard that song before, but that is just a perfect song, because we all have those moments, right, where we know God is capable, God could make things go away, and they don't. They don't go away. We still have to deal with the pain or the grief or whatever it is in our life, and we really just have clinging to Jesus that all that is left for us. And today we are talking about the will of God. Last week we talked about the intentional will of God. It's what God has planned for us. It's God's dream for us. It's like you as a parent, you have a child and you have this dream for your child, this plan. And then the child goes and does what the child does that messes up your plan, right? And so God has an intentional will for us. We're talking about Leslie Weatherhead's book. It's an old book called The Will of God. And he divides the will of God into three areas. The intentional will of God, which is what God's plan is for us, what God dreams for us, what God wants for us. Then he talks about the circumstantial will of God, which is what we're going to talk about today. And that's sort of what this song was about. It's about there's circumstances that are around us that we know that God could fix if he snapped his fingers, but that doesn't happen, and so we still have to deal with those. And then Leslie Weatherhead talks about the ultimate will of God, which is what God eventually wants to accomplish. But the circumstantial will of God is admitting that everything that happens to us doesn't have a purpose. It's not always of God's design or desire. Because the truth of it is there is evil in our world, and we are affected by that evil. There are other people in the world who make silly decisions, make stupid decisions, and we can be affected by those decisions that other people make. To understand the circumstantial will of God understands that we as people are interconnected in ways that we really, I think, would really not like to admit how really interconnected we are to even the strangers that are around us that we don't know, that we are impacted by their decisions to drink and drive, their decisions to do something that's evil. We are impacted by that. Weatherhead, in his book, makes the claim that the Father, God the Father, did not send Jesus to the earth with the intent that he die. It was his intent, it was his dream, it was his plan that the people of the world would hear the message of Jesus and repent and follow him. And thus, the people would be saved. That was his intent. So Jesus came, he was born, and the circumstances that surrounded that, in this case, the will of evil men who thought that Jesus should be crucified, it then became the circumstantial will of God that Jesus should die. Why? So that his ultimate will of us being able to be saved is accomplished. It's an interesting thought. We talk about Jesus having been born to die, but Leslie Weatherhead is saying, no, that wasn't the plan. It was the outcome because of the circumstances of the world that Jesus found himself in. Someone asked me the other day, do you think denominations are a part of God's plan? Oh, Lord, no. No. I think God's intent was that we be one church, that we believe together. But unfortunately, we as humans, we've gotten caught up in details as to how much water we use in baptism, caught up in details as to whether or not certain groups can have communion. We've gotten caught up in ideas about how one is saved in the place of guilt. No. Denominations are a great example of the circumstantial will of God. God continues to work amongst all of his people. All of the denominations, even the ones we don't understand or the ones we don't like, I think God is at work in them as well. I think his ultimate will is that we all become one, and that might not happen till we get to heaven, but I think ultimately that's what God wants, and that's what God will accomplish, is that we will all become one, and we will all worship the one true God. That's the ultimate will of God. The circumstantial will of God is we can't get together to agree on how to do it. There are two aspects that Weatherhead talks about as a circumstantial will of God. The first he calls the natural aspect. It's basically that the laws of physics apply. The law of gravity works every single time. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how much God loves you. If you jump out of a building, you're going to fall and you're going to go splat. The laws of nature that God has established, that's God's will. And those will apply to us. These are the circumstances in which we live, that these natural truths are present, right? He talks about a second aspect to the circumstantial will of God, and that is the spiritual aspect. What that really is about is what we choose to do, how we respond to the circumstances that we have in our life, and how we might respond to the natural laws, the natural aspect of the circumstantial will of God. Today we're going to take a look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is right before he's going to be captured. He knows what's going to happen. So Jesus then withdrew from his people, and this is Luke 22, verses 41 through 43. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. So Jesus knows what's about to happen. He knows that he's about to be crucified. And he asks God, "If it's okay with you, I'd like to not drink from this particular cup. But if that's your will, I will do it. Let your will be done." You see, Jesus is not excited about being crucified. He's not excited because he knows the pain that he will endure. He knows that God is not going to suspend the natural law of what nails do to flesh when they're driven in your wrist and in your feet. God is not going to suspend the pain that our body tells us it is experiencing as we are nailed to a cross and as we are asphyxiated on a cross. Jesus knows that these things are not going to be suspended. He's going to feel it all. And yet, his spiritual response to this natural law, this thing that he knows he's about to experience, is choosing to complete God's will. Rather than run away, rather than just disappear, which he's God, so he could do, rather than lift himself up off that cross, he chose to die. The spiritual aspect of the circumstantial will of God was that Jesus die for us. So another way to look at this idea of the circumstantial will of God, it's Hurricane Harvey. In our hubris, our folly, we choose to build cities where the winds blow and where the waters rise. Storms, hurricanes are a natural part of our weather system. God did not try to wipe the Gulf Coast from the map. This was just a natural occurrence of God's laws of weather at work. The natural aspect of this, of the circumstantial will of God, is that it happened. The spiritual aspect of what we do with the circumstantial will of God, it's how we respond to this thing that has happened to us, to our community. I mean, you all responded by getting in boats and hauling your neighbors out. You responded by being a shelter. We responded for in love and grace and concern for our neighbor. That was your response. Your spiritual response to the circumstances of what was happening around us. In God's circumstantial will, we are dealing with what is a broken world. A broken world where there is disease, there's COVID, there's cancer, there's diseases we don't even know how to cure. And there's sin. And there's evil in the world. And we are impacted by the evil that is in our world, whether we like it or not. In the song that we sang earlier, there's moments in time where all we can do is just cling to the hope that is Jesus, because of the circumstances that are happening around us. It is God's circumstantial will that we are dealing with what happens to us in a broken world. But it is our response to those things that matter. It's how you choose to respond to the things that happen in your life because the world is broken, or because there's disease, or because there's evil. It's why we as pastors stand up here and encourage you to read Scripture, to be a part of Bible studies, to be a part of a small group where you're talking about God's Word. All of those things help build your muscle memory as to how to respond to these things when they happen in your life. It's like grooving your baseball swing, or getting your swimming stroke down just so. There's a muscle memory. There's a spiritual muscle memory that happens to us when we study God's Word. And we know how we should respond to these things that happen to us in our life. We know because we've studied it. We know because we've talked about it with other followers, with other believers. You want an example of that? In 2015, a white supremacist walked in to an AME church in Charleston, Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. He was welcomed. It was a Bible study. He was given a sheet, and he stood up and shot 70 times and killed 9 people. You may remember this. At the arraignment, the victims' loved ones were there, and they told the shooter, "I forgive you. You stole precious things from all of us, but I forgive you." And the people of that AME church were able to do that because they had practiced, had studied, and learned what their response as a follower of Jesus Christ should be to the messed up circumstances that sometimes happen to us in this broken world. My brothers and sisters, It's important that we study God's word, that we cover our heart with it, that it is wrapped around us so that we can respond in a Christ-like way when these terrible things happen in our life. You know, one of the really interesting things about this whole idea about the circumstantial will of God is that there are moments when we are suffering the circumstances of sin or our broken world in which it looks like God has lost, that his ultimate will not be accomplished. But do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. When it looks like all is lost. Because we serve a God who resurrected his son. Can you imagine those first 2 days after the crucifixion? I mean, the disciples had to be going, man, I thought he was the one. And he's dead. We serve a God of the resurrection. And so when you find yourself dealing with circumstances that are overwhelming you or beyond your control, remember that you serve the God of the resurrection. That when it looks like all is lost, it is not. Because we have an ultimate home with God. No matter what happens, we are welcomed home into the church triumphant. Jesus meets us as the prodigal son's father, running to us as we make our way home. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the many ways that you are at work in our life. Ways that we don't see, ways that we don't understand. We know, Father, that you are here. And we know that we serve a God of the resurrection. Father, we ask that when we find ourselves up against a wall, that you will give us courage, that you will give us faith, that you will give us understanding that all is not lost. It is never lost when we are followers of Jesus. Father, give us the courage to go out into this world and to share this good news with all that we meet. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You do serve a good Father. No matter what the circumstances of life that you find yourself in, never forget that you are a beloved child of God and you are never alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.